Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Audio courtesy of the UH Browns Radio Network. This might be as low as I get for this season.
Already?
Oh, yeah.
After just five games?
But I didn't say the maddest. I said the lowest. Might be the lowest. Because I don't know if there's no faith now, and there's very little hope, if any, for the future. I mean, yeah, there's like some good players, but when it comes to like the most important position, it's like whatever. I watch on Saturdays. I watch on Sundays. I see the league. I see college football, and I'm going, well, we've certainly set ourselves up nicely for all this. So I used to be able to go, well, you know, they're good guys, and they're trying to do it. And then I got, well, you run the ball twice, and then you decide to throw the ball on third and long and try to go long for Isaiah Bond. Okay. I would have tried to make it a little bit easier if you were going to throw, then go ahead and throw the damn ball. But you decide to run twice. You take away two timeouts. It's what is it? Third and 11 at that time. It's third and 11. Third and 11 at that time. You got to play the odds and go, okay, what's our chances of throwing to Jerry Jeudy? You might as well put boxing gloves on his hands. Maybe he'd have a better chance at it right now. Or Isaiah Bond or a cavalcade of guys that really we shouldn't even be talking about. Because we don't know how to draft wide receivers. We don't know how to trade for them anymore. I think we're about one game away from a meltdown from Jerry Jeudy, considering the post game. We'll get that in later. So you decide on third and 11 that you're going to throw it. Okay. See, I would agree with you because I was at a bar patio in Vermilion with a bunch of Browns fans who just wanted to get a first down and get rolling and hopefully put this game away. See, I'm a fan, though. And if I'm watching critically, well, now we're in a timeout mode here. We're just trying to take away timeouts. So now because I failed on first and second down, now my game plan has to change on third down. And he decided to throw, and it was an incomplete errant pass, and then well, what happened happened.
I don't even know what the pass was. What was the
who knows, Anthony?
You said errant pass. You know, the thing is, like, you see so many times in football, like all these teams. They do so much work like in the red zone. So that's why you'll see guys flash with certain little rubs down by the goal line. And yesterday I'm watching all these other games. Basically every team in the league thinks that if they for a third or fourth and three or four, like they all think they have a pet play that will work 90% of the time. As long as just something stupid doesn't happen.
We got dialed up for third and 11,
but that's the problem. They had their two worst runs of the game were on first and second down. So it puts you in that horrible, horrible spot. What play do you have for third and 11 that you're that confident? What could it possibly be?
With Dylan Gabriel, with a rookie,
With Jerry Jeudy? And who's your other wide receiver? Isaiah Bond?
Yeah.
Is he still celebrating while you guys are trying to get lined up? So, is he still trying to show everybody that he got a first down?
The play is, with the play game on the line? And why I'm trying... See, now I'm getting mad. I'm not mad at you.
That was weird.
I'm not mad at you. You're taking me there already. I've been back for 5 minutes. You're taking me to where you want me to go. I know what you're doing here. because I'm about to, I mean, it's about to happen. Because in no way does that make sense. Because if you're throwing for the first down on third and 11 to try to really get it to him, well, that's a big boy throw that you have to make. Do you have that much confidence in Dylan Gabriel? What would tell you you have that much confidence in Dylan Gabriel? No offense to him.
Not the play calling for 3 hours.
So that didn't show me
any confidence.
So you were conservative for 3 hours up until then. And now we're going to let her rip. Well, because you're desperate. That's what it was. It's desperation. And in no way have you ever shown in your entire career that you're desperate. So it's nonsensical. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't compute with what you've done earlier in the game. And frankly, it doesn't compute with what you've done earlier in your career. I'm talking about Kevin here, obviously. I hope everybody's clear on this. So now it's where I don't have, because think about how this game played out. Your offensive line situation, you have KT Levinson and Cam Robinson who can't go out there without committing a penalty. They can't get lined up right.
I think they
can't go out there without committing a penalty.
I think their strategy before the game was we were going to hold on every play, every running play, and dare them to call it. And a lot of the day they didn't.
Maybe it would have worked.
The four times they did.
So, oh yeah, because Quinshon Judkins should have had, what, 220 yards on the ground instead of. We finally got a. Yeah. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, there is a moral victory to this. We finally got a running back over 100 yards in the game.
Huge.
We finally,
should have been way
the
more.
Ghost of Nick Chubb no longer exists now for this offense. We can't get over 20 points. That's just asking too much. It's against the law. But I'm telling you, we finally got a guy over 100 yards. He should have been over 200 yards, but you see, we can't block without holding because we have two left tackles that aren't very good. They even add up to a third of a left tackle, and the guy that they're replacing was moved over from right tackle because you drafted a guy number 10 overall who can't play the position, and frankly, didn't even want to play the position. And whose fault is that? See, there's a cause and effect to everything. I can't just say it's a bad Sunday. There's a cause and effect to all of this. There's something that leads in years ago to bring you to this moment in London on a Sunday morning. See, that's why I'm getting upset. That's why I'm getting, frankly, very agitated about this. So I can't trust that guy who's, I know the rookie class looks great, too little, too late, in so many words. Okay, fine. And then my play caller, my head coach, the two-time coach of the year, third and 11. I would trust Josh Allen on third and 11. I would trust Patrick. Go down the list. Go down the list of QBs until you get to Dylan Gabriel. Go down the list. I would trust him maybe more than any other quarterback on the
Broncos.
You know what?
I
might bring in Joe Flacco to complete that pass.
Even the fans of those teams are not assuming they're making third and 11. Third and 11 is not a we're going to get this.
Exactly. Exactly.
So when the Browns dropped him back, I was like, what are they? Are they lining up to try to draw them off sides? When they actually started running the play, I said, "Well, this has almost a 0.01% chance of working." How was this? What they dialed up?
It's absolute madness.
Like that's the stuff stupid teams do.
So they would have had
like,
one timeout.
Yes.
And it's stupid.
We have said 1,000 things.
It's not smart.
About when the Browns have had this roller coaster with Stefanski. You know, the up, then the down, then the up, then the down. Okay, we've had this roller coaster. I know fans always want to call the coaching stupid, whatever. Me and you have never called what they've done stupid.
No.
Because there's always been a method to their madness. That was just stupid, right? Like, can't we all agree?
Did he explain it in the post game? Was there a method to the madness? Was there any explination other than, well, we had to get the first down and we believed in Dylan to throw it?
I was hoping he said maybe they didn't get the signal in. It's a rookie quarterback. Maybe he accidentally changed the play at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, Stefanski 07. I'm sorry there, Owen. I didn't mean to put you in a bad spot. Well, here's Big Kev on the matter.
Yeah, I mean, you factor all those things in. On all downs, you consider what to do there. But ultimately, we got to come through bottom line in that down and distance or in that situation, those sets of sticks, and we did not.
But the third and 11, no, you don't have to come up with that because you're probably not getting that. Like, that's just that the odds of that are just so small.
Play it again.
Nobody thought you'd ever get that.
Can I hear it again? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you factor all those things in. On all downs, you consider what to do there, but ultimately, we got to come through bottom line in that down and distance or in that situation, those sets of sticks, and we did not.
That's Pat.
I kind of heard that multiple times yesterday.
That's just Pat.
Yeah, another one where he talked about running it or throwing it. I mean, it was a straight callback to the Shermer years.
One hand, and you know how I love to say this term, one hand washes the other. I consider and go, well, he doesn't have the players. Well, if you don't have the players, you better find the game plan that's going to do it. And 3rd and 11 with Dylan Gabriel ain't going to do it. So
what's also been,
I can't defend you, brother.
Part of it is Kenny.
Ain't going to happen.
I thought about that like a couple of weeks ago. I'm saying, well, their offensive line is in shambles. Their quarterback situation was bleak. They got a 40-year-old or an overdrafted third rounder who we have some questions about. We'll get to Dylan Gabriel. I mean, there are a lot of thoughts. Whatever. All right.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I know. So I'll give you more than that. Yeah. I'll give you more than that.
I just say that because I didn't expect that from you. So I kind of can't wait to get to that conversation.
I can give it to you right now.
No, I want to wait.
I got KT Levinson, who I always want. I keep getting the name wrong because I want to call him every other name because I've never heard of this person. It feels like a creative player.
But so I was saying that not only did you have the 40-year-old quarterback for this week, you had the offensive line, you had maybe the worst wide receiver room, you know, in the NFL. You had all those things kind of working against Stefanski. And then, you know, this week I'm like, you know, they have had 6 years for your head coach to probably have some say over personnel.
Whenever you're a
head coach, and they do say they're thought partners on everything. So, I mean, at some point, yeah, you gotta blame everybody.
Remember, that's their word, not ours.
Yeah, you got to blame everybody, including the coach, for the guys that are out there. Because obviously, Kevin Stefanski, it's not if he had a problem with them, you know, making a significant investment in Jerry Jeudy and having him be the wide receiver. Like, I'm assuming at some level Stefanski signed off on it. All these guys and everybody kind of in the lead up to after the draft, but the lead up to camp and everything, they're like, yeah, Stefanski really wanted Dylan Gabriel. All right, well, you really wanted Dylan Gabriel, but you're not going to allow him to throw the ball further than 15 yards down the field.
If you're going to be ultra conservative,
see, obviously, don't think he's that good.
Then you go down and be ultra conservative. You don't just sit there and do 3rd and throw it, whip it around on 3rd and 11. Because now, again, you're in a timeout. You're in a timeout mode. You're just trying to take away the timeouts from the other team. Because instead of one, they would have had with the 2-point or 2-minute warning. Well, you gave them two, and it didn't matter. I mean, they went down the field on you. I guess we could try to blame the defense. I think that would be a fat thing to do. But fine, if you want to try to do that to make yourself feel better, you go right on ahead. But there's really nothing that makes us feel better. There's really nothing. Like, yeah, okay, there's some good. Every team has good players. Every team has some good players. The Dolphins have some good players. I guarantee you the Jets have some good young players that some of the Jets fans are excited about. I guarantee you. Every football team has a couple of good young players on their team. It's the NFL. They all have a few. We had a Hall of Famer play for our football team for 10 straight years, and he had 20 quarterbacks because, boy, they can't stop talking about the 20 quarterbacks that he had to protect. He was a Hall of Famer. He was a really good player during a terrible, terrible, terrible time in Browns history. And here we are again in a terrible time in Browns history. Meanwhile, I want to show everybody what it is right now. I got people on the line who just want to talk about their game in London experience. That's where the fans are at right now. 1-4, there is no faith, there's no excitement, and they just want to talk about vacation. That's where we're at. That's where we're at. So all of you guys who sit there and say that you guys just hope that the Guardians don't do well so you guys can sit there and talk football, I'd much rather talk about games that matter than how somebody did on their vacation. I'd much rather talk about that. No offense to the people who went, but my God in heaven, that's where we're at. That's where we're at on this. So good. Congratulations. In the hell we've created here, that's what we have. Where I can't even... Like, what do you want me to really say about Dylan Gabriel over the next 3.5 hours? Well, he was composed. Great. You know how he conducted himself? He conducted himself how a career backup should conduct himself, where you just hope that you're able to hold down the fort until the regular starter comes back. The problem is, we don't have a regular starter that comes back. Well, we do, but nobody wants to see him. So nobody wants that to happen. So here we have to hope that Dylan Gabriel, a guy who is certainly limited, a guy who's smart enough to probably be a coach in the NFL someday, has to go out there and conduct an offense. And we just little by little. And we have to hope that Quinshon Judkins is able to carry us into the end zone and we don't have a holding call on it. Because we got two guys there who are again replacing another guy who had to replace another guy who just didn't want to play the game. Didn't want to do it. God bless them. And who picked them? So if they're thought partners, then they're all in this together. They're all in this together and there's blame on everybody, including Kevin. I can't, I cannot stick my head in the sand any longer on it. Third and 11. It was right there, crystallized for everybody. Third and 11, you did a freak out move. That's what people do when they play Madden. With a quarterback that I could go, good God, I mean, good in your head as you go out to the car this morning, think of the QBs you would honestly pick before Dylan Gabriel to complete third and 11 that you have to get the first down so you can get the extra timeout and then get it to the 2 minute warning and start the process all over again.
Unfortunately, do I have to say Carson Wentz is one of those guys?
There was a time.
Yeah, it was yesterday. It was an 80-yard drive. It was yesterday. That was the time against the dominant defense. It was yesterday.
Had three offensive linemen down, Minnesota.
Ugh.
And, I mean, you held them to 14 until the last drive. You held them to 14. And then there's always, the problem is with former number one overall picks, there's number two overall pick, mm-hmm. Yeah. There's always still a little bit magic in there somewhere. And damn it, he found it. And here we are. So it was up to your defense to bail out the team again. And it was also to the defense to bail out the head coach. See, that I think is what might be going through the heads of some of these guys on defense. That's why when people say, well, don't even worry about this year. You wait until next year. I wonder what the guys on defense were thinking on their way back. Not only got to bail out the offense. All right, we're used to that. Now I got to bail out the head coach for a decision he made. Now I got to bail him out. I mean, there's only so many times you bail somebody out of a bad situation before you finally go, what the hell? We do it in life. I mean, there's been plenty of time. Everybody has an idiot son who you go, you know what, Billy, enough's enough. I can't keep bailing you out of these problems. And here we are. Other than that, did you have a good time? Good.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Talk sports with guys in the know.
It's embarrassing. I mean, are they not embarrassed?
It's time for Baskin and Phelps. Cleveland's Sports Radio, 92.3 The Fan.
Had that one, didn't they? Had it. Didn't win it. A number of reasons. Bottom line, Browns had a football game they could have won, they didn't, and now 10 straight games where the offense has scored 17 or fewer points. That's problematic. I'm Jeff Phelps. This is Andy Baskin.
Yeah, that goes back a little bit. It's difficult to swallow yesterday's game. I'm sorry. And by the way, Kevin Stefanski lost a lot of supporters, I think, by the way things shook out. But you also have to look at a defense that gave up a big drive at the end of the game to give it up. I always want to talk about, you know, the complimentary football. Complimentary football. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that in the last 5 years. Complimentary. The special teams. The defense. The offense. Well, guess what? The fourth estate let them down yesterday, and I thought that was coaching. So I don't. It's an interesting conundrum I think they're in right now, and I think that people that were kind of toeing the line on Kevin and Kevin's future here are leaning towards, hey, maybe they need some. A new thought process. But again, you're sitting on two first-round draft picks next year. You're trying to figure out what this year is all about. You're trying to figure out if you've got a quarterback. I watched a kid play yesterday that I thought was pretty good, but at the end of the game, that number was 17, and it's not any better than what Joe Flacco has been able to do.
Or Jameis Winston. Or DTR.
Yeah, I'm just looking at guys on the current roster. So, yeah.
Well, here's the thing. and I jumped
in. Well, Jameis was able to get over it. Jameis had a couple 30-point games.
And then he did. Yeah. Then he had some that weren't.
Yeah.
So it's 10 straight games of 17 or fewer points. I think Kevin Stefanski is a good NFL head coach. I think the timeout situation yesterday is one that he, if he doesn't regret, he should. We'll explain that as we go. I wouldn't make any kind of a coaching move. I like Kevin. I think he's a good coach. We've all been around this too long. This is the type of stuff that gets people fired. And this is the type of stuff that gets people fired. You've gone 10 straight games scoring 17 or fewer points. It's not Kevin's fault that they coughed up first-round draft choices for a quarterback who came in and didn't play very well for them. It's not Kevin's fault that that quarterback tore his Achilles and then tore it again. It's not Kevin's fault that he was given Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, and Shedeur Sanders to work with. It's not Kevin's fault that they gave him Jerry Jeudy and called him a number one wide receiver, and gave him Cedric Tillman and called him a number two wide receiver, and said, here's Isaiah Bond. He didn't go through training camp. Here's Jamari Thrash. Good luck. That's not Kevin's fault.
I mean, if we're going to dig up old bones, it's kind of hard not to look at Tampa Bay and see who their quarterback is. 4-1. He's got 8 touchdown passes. He's like in the top 5 in passing yards. And he used to wear a Cleveland Browns jersey and was pretty loyal until the organization didn't want to be loyal to him. Now, was he mature or not mature? I don't know.
That's all well and good. Let me give you a different thought on that team.
Okay.
That team had Mike Evans, Chris Godwin.
Those guys aren't playing. I mean, he's got injured guys
right now. Hold on.
Okay.
This is not about Baker Mayfield.
For me, it is.
Okay. You go ahead with that. It's about this. They had Mike Evans. They had Chris Godwin. They had Jalen McMillan. 3 wide receivers who were better than anybody the Browns have.
True, that's true.
And they went out and drafted another in Emeka Ogbuka.
And he's looking like
looking like a stud.
Yes, he is.
They had 3 guys who were better than the Browns, anybody the Browns have, and went out and drafted another one better than anybody the Browns have. They have running backs. The Browns have a running back. They keep adding to the skill positions, and this team doesn't. And that's not the head coach's fault. But people pay the price when teams do things like the Browns are doing right now. And I just think that we should all pay attention to this. I also think this, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
If nothing happens here right now,
mm-hmm.
and again, I don't think it should. If nothing happens now, I think that's telling. And I say that for this reason. This is the type of a situation that gets coaches fired. It's also the type of a situation that gets general managers fired.
Yeah, yesterday was.
And if nothing happens here and they go on with business as usual, I think that tells you a lot about where the organization is, that they're thinking long term, that they think this is not the team this year, but we think it might be the team in a year or two. And that's why we're not making any changes. So I just think we should all pay attention here. Again, I think Kevin Stefanski is a good football coach. I like him. I want him as coach of this franchise. The timeout thing yesterday, I think he blew it. I think that was bad.
You can't have an 11-second drive when you've got the lead. Like, they played not to win. I'm sorry. They played not to win. I know that's kind of a twist on the way people look at it, but
they played not to lose, and they lost.
They find different ways to lose, or whether that's Kevin's fault or the history of this organization since 1999. That yesterday, you're right, Jeff. I mean, this is the kind of, if this was game 17 and they were in Pittsburgh, guys would be told to find their own ride home. Let's be honest. And you wouldn't be surprised if they would leave somebody in London if this was week 17.
Andy, the Haslams have fired coaches for less.
Yeah, way less.
Again,
I do think...
I don't think the guy should be removed. I like him. I think he's a good coach. He's not been given a ton to work with. And I think if things remain in place, I think that's telling about the organization. And I don't think that's even a bad thing. All I know is this isn't working. And, you know, I go back to three things for yesterday's loss, Andy.
Okay.
Your first four possessions of the fourth quarter. Oh, my God. Three and out. Five plays, one first down, three and out. You ran, 14 plays and picked up 30 yards. If you pick up two first downs,
you win the game.
You probably win the football game.
Yes.
Instead, the offense was god-awful in the fourth quarter. That's one. Number two, I had a coach reach out to me this morning and said, went back and watched that final drive three times. I don't care about the timeouts. I don't care about the offense not doing in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
You got to make a stop. You can't let an injured Carson Wentz lead the Minnesota Vikings 10 plays, 80 yards to win a football game. That's absolutely true. The defense had been pretty good. Defense down in when it mattered most.
Yeah, when it mattered the most, they didn't make the play. But then again, and I didn't look at time of possession from yesterday's game. How long? What did you? I don't know if you saw that or not. But
it was even at halftime, real close.
I just, you know, you look at a game like that, and you're just like, there you go. Should have won again.
Yep.
33-26. Sorry, wrong game. Hang on, I'll find it. Should have known this before I got out here. It's just. Looking at that game yesterday, it's just you want to put your head through the screen. It's another one of those games where you're just like, it was almost dead even. 30-29 to 29-31. And the Browns had the ball longer.
And then, Andy, the timeouts.
I can't believe that.
Kevin.
They didn't turn the ball over. Like, there were little things they did in yesterday's game that they did right. How much fun was it to watch Quinshon Judkins yesterday?
Oh, he's good.
Yeah, it was awesome. That was fun. There were little things he's in that good. Game yesterday where I felt like they were going in the right direction. And you just kind of, we just sit there and we wait for the bottom to fall out. That's who we are. I thought Judkins' quote after the game about being at Ohio State where they walk in the stadium every game, they expect to win. I don't know. Does our team expect to win every game? During the pregame show yesterday, the guys in London made it sound like, man, they had a fresh attitude. Everybody was in a good mood. Everything was good. Like I kind of felt like they were going to upset them yesterday. And you know what? They should have upset them yesterday. Were they missing 3-4 offensive linemen? How do they lose? How do they lose again? How do they not get to 20 points again? It's the same broken record. It's frustrating. The only thing that was good was I had the rest of the day to myself after they lost. I think that's the way most people felt around town. Saw people working on their yards yesterday.
The timeouts late in the game, I thought Kevin hacked that up. I don't think that was a good call. They started calling timeouts when Minnesota reached the Browns 21 with 1 minute and 10 seconds to play. Minnesota still had one timeout left. So at that point, I understand the thought. I just disagree with it. Kevin's thinking, all right, they're getting the field goal, and this will allow me to have some time to come back and maybe put some points on the board. What I think they did was they allowed Minnesota to get a touchdown. All right, concede the field goal, right? If you're at the 21-yard line and you make stops, then that's a 31, 38-yard field goal. So basically an extra point, and you have a good kicker in Will Reichard. So you got to figure you're going to get the field goal. By calling those timeouts, you allowed Minnesota with a beat-up offensive line to relax, get set, not use their last timeout, and they scored with 25 seconds left. I think that was a bad call by Kevin. If he had to do it over again, obviously it didn't work. He would do it differently because it didn't work. And all that did was gave Minnesota a chance to regroup, score a touchdown while you were conceding the field goal. That was bad. And they were really conservative with Dillon Gabriel all day in the play calling with the offense. So even if you conserve time, Andy, did you have confidence that he was going to be able to cut it loose and go?
No.
I didn't think so either.
When they got to midfield towards the end of the game, too, I was like, do you put Flacco in because he has a stronger arm? Although Gabriel did launch that one that they called timeout before. That was like 50 yards in the air. He got it to the end zone on that. There was a part.
And then they
like,
didn't throw another one down there. Yeah.
And then he tried to get out of bounds with 1 second to
go. Your wide receivers yesterday caught five balls. Two of them were after Minnesota came back and took the lead. So in the final 20 seconds, he had two 22-yard completions, one to Thrash and one to Isaiah Bond. So your wide receivers were a non-factor. Been saying for a number of years, the wide receiving talent on this team isn't good enough. Well, it's not. It's not.
It hasn't been for a while, Jeff.
That's not Kevin's fault. Kevin doesn't bring in the players. It goes back to the Watson trade and the first-round picks and everything else. But other teams give up first-round picks and are able to put talent on their team. This team doesn't have enough offensive talent. It doesn't. Quinshon Judkins is the real deal.
Yes.
The offensive line that everybody's been shredding sure did a great job run blocking yesterday, didn't it? Dylan Gabriel didn't get sacked, did he?
No.
Didn't throw an interception, did he?
Nope.
Yet the Browns lose. 216-474-0092 is the number to join us.
He would have if Minnesota didn't call timeout, though. That last ball was picked. The one that when Minnesota called timeout at the end of the game.
Oh.
It would have been picked. But it doesn't. I'm frustrated and numb, and that's kind of where I'm at this point. I'm just, where are you? That's what I want to know. Where are you?
216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps. You're on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I mean, after two well-earned weeks of paternity leave, our guy JP is back. It's so damn good to see you.
It's great to see you. Do I look extremely tired or run down? Because I don't feel it, by the way.
I'm not trying to kiss your booty. I thought you looked good today. I was like, JP's looking really good for somebody that's got a, you know, 2 or 3 week old baby in the house.
I did wonder if I'm overcompensating a little bit too much and trying to like make sure that everyone knows this is not going to impact anything in the slightest way. But I genuinely do feel like the first couple weeks, now maybe Elise, we've talked about it. Elise is like, this has been way better than kid number one.
No. I felt the same way about the twins than I did Liv, because the first one, you just, everything is a new lesson.
Yeah.
And you usually I learn lessons the hard way, which means I got to be kicked in the head 2 or 3 times before I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. I'll learn the lesson. But no, so I think you're right on track. But I will say, even before you opened your mouth, I walked in. I was like, JP's looking good.
Okay, good. Yeah, I like that you monitored it, too, by the way, because I would monitor it just the same way. If you had a kid and was gone for 2 weeks, I'd be like, is he going to look rugged? Is he going to be what's he
already
looking?
Look like Vince Vaughn on heroin.
All right,
you had a newborn at 40.
Let's not go that far. We've all seen Vince Vaughn on heroin.
It's just not going to look good. Much like the Browns didn't look good yesterday, I will say, you know I hate London games. Unless you're going to them, it is just a massive inconvenience. You have to wake up earlier. You have to be ready to watch football earlier. I like my 1 o'clock time slot.
Yeah, as Goodell, by the way, is pictured there in the London game. And I'm convinced now he's making this international play just so he can visit all the different spots he's always wanted to go to.
I will say, when they showed him talking, they did the photo op with the team members of the Women's Flag Football League around him.
Yeah.
That looked like the worst conversation ever. Well, having fun in that conversation.
There was a weird Ted Lasso, Jason Sudeikis, like back and forth, where it seemed like Sudeikis was having a great time, but Goodell just could not crack a smile.
I think that just might be Roger.
Is that what that is?
I think
you're meeting Ted Lasso in London, and you look like you're bothered.
And I will say, like, of all the Jason Sudeikis is such a great energy, such a great hang. He's not too far from Ted Lasso as a character. Like, he's a very positive dude. If you can't crack a smile around Sudeikis, I think you just might be a knob.
And that might just be what Goodell is, as I think everyone just funds his vacations to Europe in different spots.
Just a $50 million knob. We should all be so lucky. Now, to the actual game, I'm so glad we got the 3 extra hours. As much as I hate London football, I needed every bit of time away after that game. I was so... I was just such in a great spot after that loss. I was so mad that we immediately went and helped my mom move stuff into her new house.
Oh, you didn't do the 1 o'clock slate?
No. I checked out. I came back, I think at about 4 when I finally checked back in with football. But even then, it was on the TV. I was so mad. And there was one guy in particular that I was really mad at. That, man, did I need that little time away. I didn't even rewatch the game. You know how I go,
yeah,
I'll
like
watch it and then rewatch it at night.
I'll even
go back and watch like the all 22 mm-hmm. on Monday. I have not watched anything but the first run because it was when a team plays well, when the players play well enough to win, and the little things are what sink you from a win that was fated to you. Like Carson Wentz was clearly not healthy in that game. They had five offensive lines.
Shoulder by the time the game was ending.
Third string center. Only one starting offensive lineman. They had Van Ginkel was out as well. You had some great momentum early in that game to watch that team lose. And it goes a lot to Kevin Stefanski. Really just didn't sit right with me.
So I thought it was interesting. So as you kind of veered away from it, I plugged myself deeper into it. So I had the 1 o'clock games on and I made sure that was on mute. And then I put on Jeff and Tyvis and I just wanted to hear the post game. And I took the post game from the entire beginning all the way up to the very end. I couldn't escape the idea that it felt like what we've been screaming for a year with Stefanski had finally come home to roost with all the fans. It felt like everything we've been talking about with the, and that's more than just the timeouts and the decision making. I'm talking about the lack of an offense. It has finally hit a boiling point for the fans. And I was like, so you guys all woke up. It felt like the eyes were all wide awake. Everyone's there. And they're just finally now on the same page.
If you remember after the Baltimore game, that's the first time it felt like fans had taken the big hard turn on Kevin, and then you got the reprieve because of the Green Bay win. And in a lot of ways, I thought yesterday was the exact opposite of the Green Bay win because you were the better team for 57 minutes. And then, quite frankly, your coaching staff, and it's not just Kevin, but your coaching staff allowed a little bit of an advantage to Minnesota and they stole the win from you. Whereas in Green Bay, they were the clearly better team for 56 minutes and then mm-hmm. you just got a couple good breaks and you got that win. This was the opposite of that, but I'll just say this. Specific to one specific play, on 3rd and 11, the whole game, Kevin had been running the most conservative game plan, and rightfully so, right? What have they tried to do? We're going to try and ball control. We're going to keep away. We're not going to give your offense too many chances to win. We're going to trust our defense. And so many people have done this thing and said this thing of, oh, Kevin was trusting his defense. Okay, except for the whole 3rd and 11 play.
Well, and all the plays leading up to that, you had one first down in the entire fourth quarter. It's not as if they were able to move the ball at will, and then all of a sudden decided on 3rd and 11. Okay, we gotta trust our defense now.
So this is like a I don't know if you watch during a fantasy football matchup where you're like, all right, I've got a 97% chance to win and a 3%.
I'm picking Hacksaw's butt this week.
You really are. Hacksaw had three guys on bye.
He didn't put his roster together.
Did not set his lineup.
I don't know Hacksaw, but I wanted to be like, can you text Hacksaw? I don't want to win this way.
Four weeks in, Hacksaw's gone full Hacksaw.
And my team's actually like played well, too. That's the sad part. You want that win on like a bad game.
So in the fourth quarter, I was like 60% leaning on Stefanski because he was, it just felt like they had started to try and do more stuff in the fourth quarter with a guy in his first start. That 3rd and 11, though, pissed me off. It's like you run, and then on 3rd and 11, which some of the longer plays is where Dillon Gabriel did have accuracy issues. That play basically gave, it was a five timeout swing by the time Minnesota scored.
You have the lead and you have 3:27 left in the fourth quarter. You win those games.
Yep.
In the NFL, if you have a good head coach, you win those games. Instead, we went 3:27 and then by the time you were punting the ball, you'd gone -1 yard and it was 3:16. You took 11 seconds off the clock. I have seen Andy Reid. I have seen any great Shanahan, all these guys. We have watched them take off, and Andy Reid gets criticized sometimes for his late game management, but we've been able to watch some of the really good head coaches just milk 3:20 dry until the end of that game, and he wasn't able to pull that off, wasn't even close.
And here's the thing. You still might have lost if you had just run the ball on 3rd and 11, but they would have had one less thing to play with. And you gave them the one less thing to play with. And so I guess, and by the way, and because I know people want to put this on the defense, we'll get to the defensive side of this.
Yeah.
At no point should you have been in cover two or cover six on that final drive. Denzel Ward should not be in some sort of zone defense when you've got Jordan Addison and you can just neutralize a player by just putting Denzel Ward on him. That's on Jim Schwartz. That's on whoever called that play defensively.
Yeah, cover six in that moment. What's interesting is that Ward after the game was immediate. I mean, not that he could run from it, but he at least owned up to it in an interesting way. He was like, that one's all on me. There were some weird post-game comments. I said, I listened to all of Tyvus and Jeff last night after the game, or yesterday after the game. Like, Myles Garrett at halftime, talking about how he felt exhausted because of the London trip. I'm like, who just admits that?
Miles.
It was like, so weird. It was like, kind
of, right, in game, he's the only guy who would admit that in game.
Right, did you feel tired, because of the London game? He's like, well, at halftime, yeah, I was pretty exhausted. What? Why would you say that?
I just think...
Why would you tell us that?
So, I felt like Sunday could have been a pivotal game. Where I, going into last week, when you weren't here, one of the things I said was, a lot of people were talking about, well, just let's see the offense take a jump. And I'm like, no, you made a quarterback switch. And you did it to spark this team. And the only way that truly works 100% across the board is if you win the game. And because you lost that game, and because I do put it on coaching, because I do put it on situational football as led by the coaching staff, this is the kind of game that we can look back in 5 weeks from now. And if they don't have another win, this is where it fell out. This is where you lost a team. That's how bad I thought Kevin, and to a lesser degree, but still, Jim Schwartz was in this game.
The schedule will get easier. I looked it up earlier today. AFC teams that have one win or fewer on the season, there's six of them in the AFC right now, including the Browns. We take on all five before this season is done. Like, you're going to have opportunities to try to get wins. The schedule does get a little bit nicer, more than a little bit, a lot nicer. But I don't know that Stefanski knows how to win games at this point. I think he's been stuck in this losing cycle. And when you watch this game, it just what it felt like to me. You had the lead, and we've seen this time and time again now. He has the lead, he's got the upper hand, and then he just changes the entirety of how he's coaching a game, and he just waits to just slip on the banana peel and fall over.
And so, it's funny. Earlier this season, we talked about, do we have the wrong offensive mastermind named Kevin because of the success Kevin O'Connell has had with a myriad of different quarterbacks, and not just good offenses. They've just won. No matter who the quarterback is, they just win, and they win games they're not supposed to win. That was the superior Kevin outcoaching the inferior Kevin. Because he got out, I mean, the way that Kevin O'Connell got him to use his timeouts there inside the final minute 20, which absolutely killed any chance you had.
The one at 54 seconds.
Yep.
Well, you let them reset and figure everything out? What are you doing in that moment? I get at that point, Kevin thought that he was trying to play to when he gets the ball back to have more time, but all you did was set the Vikings up for success.
Yes, and here's the thing. You cannot, in a season where the margin to win in that game was paper thin, you cannot be the reason your team lost. And if you are, you don't have to just worry about fans turning on you, media turning on you. You have to worry about losing the locker room. And that right there, listen, it's not the conversation for today. I know people want to have the should they fire Kevin. That's incredibly premature. But the one way I think Kevin can lose his job this year is losing the locker room. And I don't know if I'm in that locker room. I don't know how I don't feel like the coaches. We the players, played well enough to win. Mm-hmm. They weren't perfect, and neither were the Vikings. But I said, I think the Browns had the better game. The players played the better game. They played more winning football than the Vikings did. And to have coaching be the reason you lose this early in the season when you're already 1-3, oh, that gets unforgivable real quick.
Yeah, they flat out got outcoached there. There's no other way to look at it. You mentioned KOC, because now we're back calling him KOC.
Yeah, I mean, when you get that kind of win, you are KOC.
And it never left. Who are we kidding? So he gave, everyone always gets on Stefanski for not showing enough passion or not getting angry enough. And I thought it was interesting. Kevin O'Connell, in the final play, or second to final play, what turned out to be the second to final play, the one, the Dillon Gabriel Hail Mary, essentially, that then they had to redo. He showed more emotion lighting up that ref for granting the timeout that he tried to call. He tried to call
still
him.
One of the funniest things
it.
In the world.
And he looked at that ref as if he walked into his house and basically slept with his wife and was the meanest person imaginable. Like cross boundaries you can't cross. Okay, like that. That's how. Like so much disdain at this ref for granting the timeout that he wanted. And it kind of felt like he was that way the entire fourth quarter. And you just don't see that with Kevin.
He looked at that ref the way Ben Johnson looked at Aditi Kinkabwala for asking a simple question.
Aditi,
I know. She got, like, by the way, way to show your ass, Ben Johnson, way to coach Kevin O'Connell. That's the difference between winning and losing in the NFL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.